Y'all, what's up? What's up? Alright, we back. What's going on, y'all? Y'all know the vibes. Y'all know the vibes. You know the vibes. You know the vibes. What's going on? We here for Black Culture to break down. We got a super dope show, actually. Let's kind of get started. Let's get the King XAB Music on the line to give us some culture news. We here for a revival on a Monday. You know how that goes. What's going on, XAB?
Okay.
How we feeling today, bro? Welcome back to Black Culture, the breakdown of revival today, man. You know, we do the Monday revivals to accommodate international guests most of the time because we can't do it on a Sunday for them because over there it's like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So both of our guests today are both in Europe, so we had to do it at an earlier time, and we call this a revival. So appreciate you coming on, bro, and giving us the culture news on a Monday.
Absolutely, bro. You already know.
Talk by T. What up, bro? Yes, bro. Definitely DM me later. We're going to definitely chop it up, bro. All right, bro. So let's kind of jump into it, X. There's quite a few things happening already. It's just been yesterday. There's quite a few things happening in the media.
News cycle never ends.
It never ends, man. And it's actually not even good news to actually report on, but I still feel like it's relevant, you know, in comparison to everything that we talked about even yesterday. Talk to us about Tamar Braxton and David. There's allegations of domestic violence on both parties.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that Tamar had her brother regarding mental health a little bit earlier this summer, but she at the time said that her partner was her rock in the situation, and then a couple weeks later, now they both have allegations against one another claiming that each person was abusive towards the other. What I'll say about it is I feel like when it comes to marriages and relationships, even though with domestic violence, it does end up becoming somewhat the public's business to some extent, I feel like it's really, really hard to have an opinion on people's marriages. And things get really messy.
But they're not married, bro.
Well, marriages, relationships, regardless. I think that it gets messy. Things get messy. Things get really, like, confusing. And it's really hard to have like an actual opinion on said situation. So I'm just going to pray for both of them. I hope that whatever's going on resolves itself and that they're both being safe. And if, like Dr. S said yesterday, if it's not working for you, if it seems toxic and deteriorating your relationship, then you just need to leave it. And like Naima said, you might just need to run.
Absolutely. You might need to run, bro. It's actually kind of crazy because I was just hoping that all this could just really get turned around. But it seems like it's just definitely not moving in the right direction for Miss Tamar Braxton right now. So maybe she just needs to remove herself from that situation.
She seems like she just needs she needs good people around her. Mm. She needs to be in a space where she can heal. And she just doesn't need to be. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, it can help you and it can definitely allow you to grow. And that person can be a support system and help you. And then sometimes having a relationship while dealing with mental health things can be, they can denigrate the situation even further. So it seems like that's what's happening here. And that's because relationships are hard work. I think that's something that we don't often speak about. Relationships are hard work. So if you're trying to maintain your relationship, but you're also going through something, sometimes that's a really difficult thing to do. So, It's okay if you realize that you're in a space that you may need to just separate yourself. Doesn't necessarily mean that you love anybody any less or anything of that nature, but if you realize that you can't properly get to the destination that you need to, sometimes it's what you need to do.
Definitely. So let's kind of move on to this next topic real quick. Nick Cannon wants to sit down and have a conversation with Eminem. Tell us about their beef and what you think about him wanting to sit down with them.
Yeah, they have had like a ongoing situation for a while now. I believe it got revived recently when Eminem had released a verse on his latest project that kind of mentioned Nick, and then Nick came out with some bars, and they were Nick bars. But you know, that situation is revived, and now Nick is saying that he wants to sit down with Eminem. I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea, but it definitely does seem more like a ratings thing than anything else.
Okay. Dora, what's up? I see you're in the building. How you feeling? We have our guests. Listen, today we international, y'all. We got two dope ladies coming out of here from, Europe, and they're gonna talk to us about their unique stories and exactly what they do. It's almost like two opposites of the spectrum, bro. One is a, a cover model, and the other one is an Olympian. Two different women just kind of speaking on their perspective of just life, and we're gonna talk everything culture.
That's going to be super dope. I can't wait.
Definitely. She says she's well. How are you? We're good. We're good. I'm excited. Can I get you on the conversation? But X, talk to us about this last thing, Ray J and Princess Love, bro. Now, what is going on in the air, man? They getting a divorce, is what it's saying out here. Like, what's happening? Black love is not really lasting the way it's supposed to, man. What's happening?
So, I mean, what was it, a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, Princess had filed divorce against Ray J. Now Ray J is supposedly filing divorce against Princess. Like I said, when it comes to people's relationships and marriages, it is really, really tricky and it's really, really complicated. And I think that us as the public and as fans of these individuals, we get wrapped up in the fact that, like, oh, these relationships and these celebrities, they put themselves out there, so we get wrapped up in their lives. But the flip side of it is a lot of this stuff really isn't our business. And what I mean by that is when we get invested, we do have to understand that when things go left, right, center, whatever the case is, that our opinions have to be a little reserved. I know a lot of times we look at these things and we automatically, oh, this is crazy, or oh, why, da 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 da, they was just good. But think about your own relationships and think about how messy those get, and think about the good times and the bad times. And I'll think about that being something that was public and everybody could see when you guys were up and when you guys were down, when you guys were cool, when you guys weren't. And so when you put it in that perspective, you kind of start to understand that, you know what? Some of these things just need to play themselves out, and they don't always necessarily need to be in the public eye. It is in the public eye. These people have made themselves figures. So it's not like you can't have an opinion, but I just think that it's important to mind your opinion when thinking about these things, because we've all been there where our relationships have been all the way left, right, wherever, well, whatever the case may be. And we really should just be careful and cautious about just looking at these things and running to judgment.
Absolutely. And I think just be mindful that our words have power.
That's a
So
fact.
whatever the energy that we decide to put out, just don't be upset when it's what you get back. So, we don't wanna, give, bad energy on anybody's relationship. You know what I'm saying? 'Cause how do you expect yours to thrive unless you're putting on other people?
Yeah, and it's hard to know the details. You know, we get these little snippets of what is supposed to be happening. We don't know if any of it is true. Sometimes we'll get this allegation, sometimes we'll get this little headline, and we don't really know what's going on. And then we run with these things, especially in today's day and age, where the first person to go to Twitter or Instagram with the story or the breakdown, you know, coming down with the breakdown and all of that is the one that gets the most retweets and stuff. So I think a lot of people just rush to judgment and rush to make a opinion and throw it out on the internet because it's the cool thing to do. And it's the thing that everybody thinks is going to make them famous and then make them a social media personality. But these are real people with real situations, real life happens. And we just have to be cautious about how we kind of digest this information.
Absolutely, absolutely. In more positive note, bro, yesterday we didn't get a chance to really talk about it, but Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle had the Versus battle, and that was kind of dope to just see two black queens that have shared like over 50 years in the music industry just kind of just 20 of their hits. Talk to us about that if you have any words on that.
No, I just think it's amazing. I think what's happening with Versus is like, I don't even know how to describe it, but Versus itself is doing an amazing job. I think the Gladys Patty battle is just like, that's just like a dream. Nobody really thinks, everybody sits at home and they have these conversations. What about Patty versus Gladys? What about Brandy versus Monica? Like, we have these conversations all the time, but to see it turned into a platform and then the platform turned into an actual entertainment event that we all look forward to and that gets upwards of 1 million people on it at one time or half a million people. Literally half a million people are on a social media app at one time. So I just think that it's super amazing. I think that last night was like, I don't know how to describe that, but it was just, it was a dope event. Just the overall, like, getting the grandmas and the nannies and everybody involved in Versus. I think that was ingenious. Because now, your grandma's going to be like, when's the next Versus? Now she's interested. She didn't know nothing about Versus before last night. She heard about it and thought it was a TV show. But now, she's invested and she wants to know when the next Versus is. Exactly. So I think that they're really, really, the marketing and the execution is, like, phenomenal.
Definitely. And I feel like now what they should do is now, because they definitely got the Monica and Brandy, which is like our generation. And they got the Gladys and Patty, which is like the older school generation. So I'm curious to see what they do next. I have a feeling they may go younger.
I think it would be great for them to go younger. Little Baby versus the Baby or something like that. I think that would be kind of cool for sure.
Maybe dope. Bro, thanks, man, for always coming in and talking to us and giving us the news, man. Let the people know where they can find you.
So, again, if you enjoyed our conversation and you're interested in following me, it's real simple. You can go straight up to the top. It says The Jersey with XAB. If you click on that, you could click on XAB. You can follow me. I follow back. I'm not going to leave you out there. Yeah, if you're interested in getting some more of my takes about the culture, about politics, entertainment, and all the news, then follow the podcast, Dad Hats and Bow Ties. We drop an episode every Tuesday. I'm actually about to go record right after I get off of here to record our new episode that's going to drop tomorrow. And you can also follow that IG page at Dad Hats and Bow Ties. So it's the Kid XAB. You already know what it is. You guys are going to have an amazing show. I am super curious to hear what each of these young women have to say. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to do the recap. I'm going to have to come back for it because I'm going to be recording at the time. But it's super dope.
All right, man. Most definitely. Let's definitely get the Nigerian queen in here. And then we're going to talk to you on Sunday, bro, for the next Black Culture Breakdown. Man, appreciate you coming on.
Later. Peace.
All right, y'all. So that was XAB giving us culture news. He breaks it down for us. We call him a culture specialist because he knows everything entertainment, and he gives us the breakdown of what's going on. So let's get Ezine on the line, right? And let's get this beautiful African queen. Hey.
Hey, what's going on? Let me set you up right so I don't got to deal with holding the phone. There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. How are you?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Black Culture the Breakdown. Mm-hmm. So tell the people who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Ezine Kalu, the Nigerian queen, and I play professional basketball. I'm currently overseas in France. It's like 11:15 over here now, so I stayed up a little late to definitely be a part of this interview, see what it's about.
Well, thank you so much for just being down to just participate in something. It's called Black Culture the Breakdown, and we just break down everything culture. And right now, what you're doing is a part of culture. And I feel like I wanted to definitely get your take on what's happening even over there in France. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, a lot of crazy things been going on. As far as it over here in France, you know, everything is just calm over here, surprisingly, even with the COVID, you know, still going on. Everybody's still living life as normal. People just are wearing masks. You know, you do have the where you got to say, you know, back up a little bit. You do have those moments where you got to do that, let people know it's still a pandemic going on. But for the most part, it still seems like everybody's just living their normal life just with the mask nowadays. So it's strange.
Even over there, it's a different feel, though. But life is still moving, but it just feels different.
Yes, exactly. Life is still moving like how it is in the U.S. It definitely feels different, especially now that I'm here alone. Well, I have my teammates with me, but as far as family-wise, I'm here alone. Mm. All my friends in the U.S., they're always calling on me and checking up on me, make sure I'm safe and I'm okay. Yeah. But for the most part, yeah, everything here is pretty much normal. I mean, the stores, you can go in, but you just got to have a mask on. You don't have to walk around with a mask on all the time, thank God, because that would be difficult.
Got you.
My teammates, we get tested every week, every Monday, to make sure that we're safe enough to play and practice. The same with all the other teams. But, we start our season the end of this month, so I'm curious to see how that's going to go with the fans. It's okay. Not like a bubble like the WNBA or the NBA. We don't have a bubble, so I'm just curious to see how they're going to work that out.
Okay, so tell the people exactly, because now jump into what you're doing. So you're in France. Let the people know what you're doing in France.
Yes, so I'm in France right now. I play for a club team, a first division club team over here, a Euro Cup team by the name of LBB, Landing on Behind the Basket. This is almost my 6th year pro.
Okay.
My second season with this team. I love it. The city is really small. There's not much to close by, but if you drive maybe 45, 30 minutes, you get to the city where you have, you know, more things to do, like the mall or out to eat or a few bars or clubs, whatever you want to do. And I like it here. It's my second year here with the team. They treat me well. I have my own apartment, which is good. I don't have to worry about roommates.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love it. I've been playing, like I said, I've been playing professional now almost 6 years. When January comes, that'll be my 6-year plan. And I love it. My first 2 years, I played in Portugal.
Okay.
After that, I played in Germany. I played in Budapest. And this is my 2nd year here in France. So wow. I'm loving it.
So yeah. What's about basketball and how you even got into basketball?
And you know what's crazy? I was a cheerleader at first.
What? I was a cheerleader at first.
I was not with the sweating. I was not with the people being physical with me. I was just not with that at all. But my mom wanted me to try something different in elementary school. You know, when you're growing up, parents want you to be involved in anything that you can to stay active. So she's just like, try basketball. And once I started it in 3rd grade, I kind of just stuck with it. And I trained really hard. I became a gym rat. I worked really hard. I kept pushing every day, trying to stay motivated. Because I feel like if there's something that I want to do and in the long run, then I got to start putting in the work now, even at a young age. Gotcha. And where I'm from, I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, like straight from the trenches.
Okay, I'm from Jersey, by the way.
Get it out the mud. So okay. when I saw how many doors basketball opened for me, I really started taking it serious because my mom couldn't pay for college. And I had to, you know, keep playing to get myself free school. Got a full basketball scholarship to Savannah State HBCU in Georgia.
Okay.
That was huge. 3rd grade, it's so crazy to see how far I've come since then. Because, you know, when you're growing up and when you're around other great athletes, people don't really focus on the underdog. Okay. And I'm just happy to see how much like I've grown and excelled from that time. If you told third grade me that I would be like playing overseas in France or playing for the Nigerian national team, I would probably look at you like you have two heads. So I'm definitely happy that I stuck with ball and really, you know, really just got on that flight and took it as far as I can go.
So you made it to the Olympics.
Yes. So the Olympics got postponed because of the COVID, but got postponed to next July, which is good. And my team qualified for the Olympics. We haven't qualified for the Olympics since like 2006. So Team Nigeria, we're going to the Olympics, and that's huge. Like to see, that's like huge to know that a little girl from Newark, New Jersey is about to play in the Olympics.
Major. On
a platform that is major. And I've definitely come from humble beginnings, and I definitely don't take each day lightly. It's every day is a day to get better, because if I'm not doing the work, somebody else is. So that's gonna be a really amazing feeling. I really can't wait. I know the nerves and stuff gonna start kicking in once we start training, but to just be around that atmosphere, and I've always seen the ceremonies growing up with all these different teams, and I'm excited. I'm ready.
Okay, so how do I say your name? Ejene?
Ejene.
Ejene. I love that, by the way. So tell me about how you feel like you're treated as a Black woman in France. Talk to me about that.
Yes, honestly, they love Americans over here.
Hmm.
They really love Americans over here. I haven't had any issues yet as far as like being a Black woman. Those issues happen playing in Portugal. But they love me here because they see this type of person I am on the court, and that translates off the court as well.
Got you.
Really nice. I'm very relatable. When I'm off the court, you can talk to me. I speak to the people in public. I speak to the fans. So it's kind of feel like they can relate to me outside of the court, which is great. And they kind of treat me really good here. I love it. I see people out on the street. They say, oh, there's Kyle. So my first name was like really hard for them to pronounce. So they call me with my last name, Kalu.
Okay.
Out somewhere, they're like, oh, Kalu, Kalu. And it's just a whole conversation that happens. And it's funny because I don't speak French that well, but they still speak it because they just want some type of conversation. And I'm definitely learning French, so I can definitely learn how to talk to people more. But for the most part, they treat me really good here. I haven't had any issues yet, which is a blessing.
Great, that's great.
Yeah, which is a blessing because I don't have to put nobody in the headlock. But for the most part, they treat me well here, and I definitely commend them on that, because other places I've been, it's been kind of difficult, you know, being a Black woman playing sports.
Mm.
I had quite a few overseas experience in Portugal as well in Budapest. So to get here and kind of like see people who look like me but don't necessarily speak English, but they just look like me, so they kind of understand, you know, some of the circumstances. But I like it. I love it.
That's dope. And I can just definitely tell that you're going to even continue to do well, because your spirit is definitely infectious and you definitely have a positive light about you. So keep grinding and keep shining. You're going to definitely fall. The comments is going crazy for you, by the way. Somebody said New Jersey official Adam Rick. Brooklyn Notice Creation said basketball opened a whole new world for you. Great that your mom got you into something new. Wonderful. The language barrier doesn't inhibit your fans from connecting with you. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of positive spirits all around you. So you're going to keep the blessings, keep going that way. So keep on it, Ejene. So talk to me about this, your work ethic. How'd you even get to where you are right now, right? How hard do you got to work? How early you got to get up? How hard you got to train? How is that?
My mentality changed once I got to college.
Because
in high school, you always have that one player who's the best player out of everybody.
Mm.
But in college, you have players who are just as good as you or better. So when I became a freshman in college at Savannah State, and I seen that, you know, the pressure was on me. You got the girl coming from up north to come down south and play ball. And my mentality changed the minute I stepped on the floor. I became a gym rat. I said to myself, listen, in order for you to really excel, you got to put in the work every day. Like, when you're not working, somebody else is putting in the work. So I told myself to just put the work in, you know, every day, any chance I get, put the extra work. Even days we don't have practice, still go in the gym, still get better, whatever your weaknesses are, make them your strengths. Mm. And my mind was, I'm not about to let anybody outwork me. Mm. And I feel like with that mentality, it kind of got me to where I am today.
Mm. So let me ask you this. So you've kind of thrived off your competitiveness.
Yes, exactly.
How do you, and let me ask you this now, are there people in your life that are not competitive and that you can come across like, wow, like you're overpowering somebody? Let me ask you that.
Yes. I even have friends who I know that aren't really competitive, but I feel like when they're around me, it kind of brings that out of them. Okay. And even my family too. And it's not in a sense that they're not competitive. It's just that they don't always have the will to want to win, or they don't feel like it's winning is not always important. I don't think winning is always important, but who like to lose?
Absolutely. Who
wanna? So exactly. Nobody want to be a loser. Nobody want to come second. Nobody want to come third. I feel like if you're in a competition or if you're trying to achieve something, the only way is first place.
Absolutely.
And I feel like with first place, it comes the putting in the work. It comes with doing the extra work when the lights aren't on. It comes with, you know, watching film. It comes with, you know, seeing what your competitors are doing that maybe you can do better or learn how to stop them. Mm. So it's just a matter of, honestly, it's just a matter of the individual you are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Strong-minded, if you have this mindset that you want to excel in your career, if you want to excel in whatever you're doing, whether you're playing ball, or whether you're acting or writing, if you want to excel and do better and get recognized for what you've accomplished or what you want to continue to accomplish, then you got to put the work in.
Absolutely. Are you just talking straight life? You said nobody want to be in second, third, none of that.
Second place. And I know, like, I get it. Winning isn't always everything. I get that. You know, the process to learn how to win is also important too. You know, learning how to win and learning how to be professional after you win. But nobody has that conversation when you're losing. You know, when you lose and when you get second place, nobody's telling you, you know, oh, you did a good job, but next time get first place. Nobody's saying that. You know, nobody's telling you the real. They're just saying, oh, okay, maybe next time you can get it next time. Or if you, you know, try a little harder next time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those kind of pep talks, it kind of forces you to be like, you know what? I don't like this little talk. I want people to say, wow, like you did that. Like you did your thing. You know, you did this, you did that. When people speak that into you, it forces you to go even harder. Mm. And with my team, for example, we've had two games already. We had three games already. We won two and lost one of them. Mm. The game that we lost really bad. But my coach had good things to say. Granted, tell your team the good things that came from that. But also tell us what we need to fix. Also tell us, you know, give us the real. You know, tell us why we lost by 20 some points. Tell us what we need to do to make sure we don't lose by 20 points next time. Or tell us what we need to do as individuals so that we're in a situation where we all can be successful. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I feel, honestly.
So talk to me about how do you feel when you, how are you at losing? Are you a sore loser, or are you a loser that's like whenever you don't win in a situation? Or do you know how to win amicably, or do you take it really hard?
Yeah, I don't think I'm a sore loser at all. I do hate losing, but I feel like when I lose, that's kind of a lesson. Okay. And kind of like, for example, when I play in games and I lose any game, I don't think about the game for at least 24 hours. Because mm-hmm. I feel like throughout that time when you lose, you're thinking off emotions. You know, you're like, damn, oh, I wish I made this layup, or why didn't I this ball? So I kind of use that whole day to kind of reflect. And then that next day, I start to think, okay, well, how did we lose? Uh-huh. You know, what areas caused us to lose? Or what can we have done better to, you know, to have a different outcome?
Yeah.
When I lose, I don't really take it personal. I do get upset because I feel like, you know, as an individual and also playing on a team, the goal should always be to, you know, give 100% victory. So when that doesn't happen, obviously it's not just my fault because it's four more players on the court. But I feel like with me being a leader, it made me to even think of more ways to like to lead to that victory next time. Or what can I do better so that next time we're on the floor, my team knows, okay, boom, I got your back. Or boom, make that better pass. Or maybe if I would have made that shot or made this layup, we would have won the game. So it's just all about just becoming a better person and better player overall.
Absolutely. So now, what is your goal with basketball? Like, what is like, what do you want to accomplish with it? What's the highest?
The highest I want to go is I have a lot of goals as far as basketball. My goal is to go to the WNBA, but if I don't get there, I really don't mind playing overseas, traveling, getting culture and, you know, different languages, being in different atmospheres. But I definitely, you know, want to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I definitely want to be one of those names where you hear it, you like, you can boom, 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 boom. This is Esme Kalu, she did this, that. I definitely want to keep on playing until the wheels fall off, until my body tells me I can't go anymore. Okay. I don't know. There's so many things I want to accomplish as far as basketball, and I feel like, honestly, I feel like sky's the limit.
Definitely.
I'm at the Olympics next summer, so I don't know how much far can I go after that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Okay. All right, so I had Chantel Chimichia on the show before, you know, and she was in WNBA. She was one of the original, the team, I think, was first formed. She was one of the first cast of the okay. And she talked about her experience playing with, like, Lisa Leslie and all of that. So it's definitely, the sky is the limit. So it's nice to see that you're out there doing your thing in France. Mm-hmm. So talk to us now about transitioning into the beauty, right? So I know you do a little bit of modeling, and I know you are a brand ambassador. You are a beautiful Black woman, and I would love for you to tell me all about your modeling endeavors.
I definitely got in. Modeling is something that I love to do outside of the court. Because I feel like with playing ball, there's always stereotypes with women that you only have to look a certain way or to act or dress a certain way. And I'm a totally different person off the court. Like on the court, I'm a complete animal. You know, I'm in your face. I'm in a girl. I'm sweating. I'm not really worried about, you know, what's going on with my face or my hair. But off the court, I'm like, oh, no. Like, I need a pair of heels. I need some lip gloss, some lipstick, some edge control, something. Like, I'm a completely different person. So when I first got into modeling when I was in college, I loved it because I feel like this is something I can do and show, like, kind of like that sexy side of being a basketball player. And I had I got a lot of support from it. I was actually modeling with a club at Savannah State called the Savage Incorporated. And they was a modeling company that just helped you with, you know, doing runway shows, fashion shows, hair shows, makeup shows. Mm-hmm. And I really got into it. And I started actually getting booked while I was in college for different types of shows. So my love grew even stronger. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated college and I went back to Jersey, there were so many people asking me, like, to model in their fashion shows and model their clothes for them. And that made me just love it even more because I'm like, wow, this is something I'm passionate about and I'm good at it. Yeah, so why am I going? And that's how I started doing the fashion shows and doing the different photo shoots, just trying to show that other side of me outside of my uniform.
Yeah.
Speaking of the beauty, I started my own makeup company, Kalu Cosmetics, 3 years ago. So that was too because I... Okay, there we go. I wanted to create an identity outside of basketball. And I'm like, in what ways can I do that? And with me modeling and, you know, being interested in makeup and, you know, that other side of me, I'm like, that'd be a perfect way to, you know, put those two together and show people, you know, a different side of me. And I like it. You know, any chance I get to put on a pair of shoes, I can't. I try to. Because, you know, with me being over here overseas, we don't go out as much because we're always practicing. So I just, any chance I get to take any kind of pictures or put on shoes or makeup, I do it. Like, I don't waste any time.
Surely don't. And you take beautiful is, and I'm excited to see where you you know, take the modeling career to when COVID is, like, I guess back to, if it is back to no COVID. But talk to us now about encouraging and uplifting other young women to kind of get into a space that is comfortable for them to be an athlete and comfortable for them to be a model. You represent two different spectrums of just being a woman, right? And it's just complete opposites. It's being completely physical and then being beautiful, right? So talk to us about how can you encourage some young ladies to maybe get into what you do.
Yeah, honestly, I would just tell them to be yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody, there's only one of you. And I feel like if you're in a situation where you want to do something, but you feel like people are going to judge you for being another way, or you feel like you won't get the support, who cares? You know, if you're happy, as long as you feel like, you know, you're doing something that makes you feel good, then go for it. You know, you don't have to be one-dimensional at all. You can play basketball, you can model, you can cook, you can, you know, make clothes, you can do hair, yeah. Whatever it is that motivates you, or whatever it is that feel like, you know, you want to take different avenues to be happy in life or to fulfill some kind of goal, do it. You know, be your fan, be your own supporter sometimes, because people need that. And self-motivation is real. You know, sometimes it's days where I don't feel like going to practice, but I look in the mirror and I tell myself, you know what? You got this. Like, you know, just go put the work in and you're good. So I feel like with the younger generation, they need to hear that. You know, they need to hear that it's okay to be a lady. It's okay to, you know, step out and do something different. Nowadays, people always, they fear to do something different because they worry that somebody might call it corny or whack, or somebody might not agree with it. But at the end of the day, if you're not happy with what you're doing, then it shouldn't matter if anybody else is.
Absolutely. The comments is going crazy for me. Renaya Marie said, amen. So let's close it out with this, the Nigerian queen. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? And what could we look out next? What do you got coming next?
So in the next 5 years, you can definitely see you on a big screen. I don't know which one yet, but it will be a big screen.
Wait a minute.
I'm claiming it. I'm definitely working on a few projects. One of the major projects that I'm working on is a cook for overseas athletes. I love to cook, and okay. I feel like with Americans always traveling overseas.
What you be cooking?
I be chefing it up, okay? I know how to pretty much cook any American dish. I try to keep it healthy. I don't eat red meat or I don't eat pork. So I just try to keep make a variety of things that cater to the athletic body.
How does your diet have to be for you to be able to keep up?
Honestly, my diet is not that strict. I don't eat past 11 p.m., which I drink a lot of water. Sometimes that suppresses my appetite as well. Mm. And because I practice twice a day, I always have to find those meals and that protein, those carbs, to supplement everything that I'm, you know, that I'm given.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just found myself just always creating like different meal plans that people always ask me my recipes or what I'm cooking. So I'm like, what's the better way to just create like a small, you know, cookbook for my athletes or even for regular people who just don't know what to always whip up or who don't always know what to eat?
Gotcha.
You definitely expect my first book. I wrote it from my freshman year of college to my first year of pro. So, and you know what's crazy? I'm talking about self-motivation, but I've had my book on my laptop for about a year and I haven't self-published. I haven't published anything yet. Mm-hmm. So I just start taking my own advice to just jump out there. And I say that because writing has something that I've always loved to do, but it's not like I had a passion for like basketball, modeling. So I'm a little nervous to kind of put that content out there because I'm not sure what kind of feedback I'll get. But that's definitely something that people can look out for. My cookbook, my life book, more things from Kulu Cosmetics. Definitely look out for the Olympics. And that's it. I'm still working on some things on the side, little business ventures, a couple of collaborations and partnerships. So I don't know.
If you stay working and you stay figuring out how to get to the next bag, and that's I reached out to you because I think you're super dope and it translates all throughout your social media and through your
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on the show and blessing us with your grace. We appreciate you. And let the people know where we can find you.
Yes, so y'all can find me underscore the Nigerian Queen. I do follow back. Just because I got a blue check doesn't mean I'm bougie. I do follow back. I do converse with my followers. Actually, I will be having a raffle soon, so y'all look out for that. But y'all go ahead and follow me in the meantime, underscore the Nigerian Queen.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the Black Culture to Break Down. Let's get Dora on here and talk to her experience. Appreciate you coming on.
Bye.
All right, y'all. So that was Ejanay over there in France right now. It's like, what, probably like 12 something. But let's get Dora on the line. She was super dope, super inspiring. Because I know she's, you know, over there as well, probably like, oh, boy, it's super late. Let's get, there she is.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome.
Okay, let's go back. Great. The lighting's not that great at my place.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Beautiful. I can see you clear as day.
Okay, awesome.
So welcome to Black Culture to Breakdown. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you've been enjoying the show so far.
Yeah, it's super interesting and everyone's like so inspiring. Wow. Yeah. I love it.
So we have you on the show because I feel like you've done some work yourself and we would like to kind of get to dive into what you're all about and just what you kind of accomplished so far in your career.
Okay. Well, I've been doing a lot of modeling actually. I've been doing modeling for, I don't know, it's been like 7 years. So it kind of all started because, well, I always loved modeling. I've always been like a little bit of a diva. You know, when I was a kid, I would like just model for my family. And like, I used to watch beauty pageants with my family. It's a really big thing in Spain. I'm a dual citizen of Canada and Spain. So I grew up between both countries my whole life. So in Spain, like these like Miss Universe Spain things were like super big. So I always loved that.
Okay.
But then I participated in Miss Universe Canada because I was in Canada at the time. Going to school there. So that's kind of how the modeling like professionally really started for me. I got accepted for the running. And I mean, a lot of people, they might just think like, oh, whatever, these like pretty girls and they're like save the world concepts or whatever. But no, like you have to have a lot of discipline to go into something like this. Like it's long hours of training. You have to get into really good shape. You have to have a really good understanding of what's going on in the world. The women that I met in the competition, they're all like super accomplished. They all have really amazing business plans. And I don't know, it was great.
All right. It seems like you actually have quite a business understanding here. So in addition to modeling, tell us about, do you have any business acts that you are kind of like dipping into?
Well, I do a lot of partnerships and collaborations. So I monetize my social media quite a bit. I took a social media course a few years ago. And I was just like, this is interesting. Like as a model itself, like it's all about, you know, I don't know, modeling brands, like selling something, clothing, beauty products or whatever. And I was just like, well, in the new age of social media, I can do that even on my own with my platforms. So yeah, so I've been able to do a lot. Like I've done a lot of brand ambassadorship. I've traveled around the world doing a lot of influencer things. I've been on the covers of a few magazines this year, even with like COVID. So that was crazy.
We're going to definitely dive into all of that because we know you definitely for the month of August, which is past. But before we get there, talk to us, though, just about bring it back to the to when you started modeling. But right now, what time is it where you are?
It's 10:45 p.m. I'm in London in the UK right now.
London. All right. Okay. Got you. That's the same time zone.
Sorry?
You guys are on the same time zone?
As what?
As Ejanay in France.
Oh, no. She's 1 hour ahead.
Oh, she's an hour ahead. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
We're really traveling to different time warps here. Back though, from when you first started modeling, and what, break it down for us about how you actually got your first modeling gig and what it was.
Okay, sure. So after I did the pageant, I'm actually from the West Coast of Canada, but once I graduated university, I did my pageant. I moved to Toronto because I have a journalism degree, and my passion was, at the time, I just wanted to be like a TV broadcaster, you know? So I moved to Toronto because there's a big platform for that there. There's an industry there. And because I had done Miss Universe, I got signed with a talent agency and a modeling agency. And I think one of my first gigs was actually like a runway show for Canada Goose, which is like the really big winter jackets. They're like super popular in Canada. I'm sure you've heard of them. So that was like one of my first gigs. And then with my talent agency, I was doing commercials. I did a commercial for, you know, this app that restaurants have now, instead of like actually having a menu, you can just kind of like, they give you an app and you can even like order things and you barely even need a waiter anymore and whatever. So when that first came out, I did a commercial for that. I did a music video for the Trinidad and Tobago carnival. I don't know, just, I've done a lot of different things.
That's super dope. So now let me ask you this. What made you say, all right, this, I can actually really, I can actually make a career out of this. What, when did that actually click that you had to maybe like, all right, maybe now take it more seriously to make a career?
I think basically, because I enjoy like the acting aspect of it. I enjoy, like, I'm not your typical like 9-to-5 person. Like I could never imagine myself just like sitting at a desk in front of a computer and just like doing the same thing over and over again for 8 hours every day. And then just like having the weekend off, like all the power to people that can do that. But I've just never been that way. And so I was really lucky that I was able to make a living with modeling and like the traveling aspect that came into play, like just everything about it. I was like, I need to pursue this. And I did.
Well, you've definitely gotten an opportunity that most girls wish, right? You were on the cover of Harper Bazaar for the audition. So talk to us about that whole experience. And
oh my gosh. Well, it was a dream come true. It was like so amazing. I mean, I never would have imagined to ever be on the cover of that magazine. Like it was, even growing up, like one of my favorite magazines. Like I couldn't even believe it when that happened. But the thing is, I went to Dubai. I was supposed to have my photo shoot in the desert. As you can see on the cover of the magazine, I'm wearing like this really heavy red, like couture dress. It's really beautiful, but like really difficult to walk in like the desert and the heat. And it was crazy. But so I got stuck in Dubai for COVID. I was like stuck in a hotel room for 2 months, because in Dubai, how they lived it was, they had a 24-hour curfew. So it was even more strict than other places around the world. Like you needed a police permit to even leave to get groceries, you know, and like only one person per household could like request this permit once a week and for 3 hours. Like it was so insane. So I legit was like stuck in my hotel room. And then finally when they lifted the curfew slightly, like they took away the 24-hour curfew, you could be outside until like 8 p.m. That's when I was finally able to do my shoot for the cover. So yeah.
So first of all, you shot that in Dubai, so that, how dope is that, number one?
Really cool.
Up there for 2 months and you had to get a permit to even just go outside.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
Did you just want to go home at that point?
Oh my gosh, I was dying to go home. I was like, I don't know, I just wanted to be with my mom. And, you know, because like I was like so homesick. And I was just like, I just want to be with my family through this like crazy pandemic. Like, what am I doing here? Okay, sure. Everyone's like, you're in cool Dubai. I'm like, yeah, but I'm stuck in a hotel room. It's not like I can like go do cool things. So obviously I prefer being home. But yeah.
Is that a Harper Bazaar's problem because you were there stuck on there in the middle of the shoot? Or is that like a Dubai problem because it was like a health crisis?
No, I think it was a world problem. Like it wasn't anyone's, I don't think it was anyone's fault, you know?
No, I mean, in terms of you having to be there for 2 months, there's like, in terms of like, do you, Is Hyper Bazaar like, okay, we're going to make sure you're situated because we know you're stuck here?
Yeah, no. All of that was taken care of. So that was okay. Like, I didn't have to worry about that. But still, it was just like, I think emotionally, like, just thinking about being in a place that, like, you're not home, and then you just, like, you keep reading the news and watching the news all the time, and you don't know, like, when they're going to open the borders. Finally, they opened in the UAE, they opened in July. So as soon as they open, I'm like, okay, I can finally leave. I'm going to go now. So, yeah.
So now talk to us about social media and the importance of social media. How important is it?
You know, I think it depends what you're trying to do with social media. If you have a brand and what you're doing for work could benefit greatly from your brand, I think social media is amazing. I love social media for that. I try not to put a lot of personal things on my social media. But I mean, obviously there could be a negative thing too to social media, like depending on what you're sharing, right? So you have to just be really mindful. I try to keep it positive. I try to keep it about like my brands, my travels, my influencer things and my modeling gigs and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it really depends like what you're trying to do with social media. I think people have even built empires off of social media. So I try to just see them as an example and try to do something like that, you know? That's what I'm aiming for, at least.
Okay, got you. And I think you do such a great job at just branding in general. You know, it's something to be a model, but it's something to be a brand, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like what makes Kendall Jenner so massive is they know how to brand themselves really well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand that, because I meet a lot of people all the time. It's like, I can model, I can do this. Why don't I have as many followers? Why don't I have, you know, the same kind of notoriety? And it's because the branding isn't necessarily right.
You know what I found, because I know a lot of people that are trying to do this, and they're very capable of making amazing content. Like, they know how, like me, I think that my skill set is more the branding aspect of it, like, because I studied journalism and I studied communications and all of these things. Like, I'm good at that aspect. I think like my pictures could be better. I think my content itself could be better, and other people know how to make better content than me, but then they don't utilize the tools of social media properly. Like, they don't use the 30 hashtags. They don't use the location. They don't like tag every last thing that they can possibly tag. And like, they're not constantly sharing things or collaborating with other people that are relevant in their industry, you know, like, so they make amazing content, but then they're lacking in like all the other things that's going to get you like out there. It's going to get your picture or your video or your reel or whatever. It's going to get noticed because you know how to do all the other stuff, right? So.
So here we're on Black Culture the Breakdown, and we like to definitely keep it real. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you about just the Black Lives Matter movement. How has the Black Lives Matter movement affected you over there in the UK?
Well, to be honest, I don't think that in Europe it's that big of a thing, but I have a lot of American friends. I have a lot of African American friends. So obviously I've been following it. I've been following the American news. Like, I've been seeing what's going on. I'm in touch weekly with my friends, and I ask them like what's going on and how they're living it. So I mean, I don't want to sit here like I've never experienced like what African Americans experience, so I don't know that well myself, but I try as well as I can to understand, you know, to put myself in other people's shoes. And I don't know. It just seems very difficult. Like, I've had just even actually, it's funny that you bring this up, because just the other day I was promoting our this video, this live that we were going to do, which is, it's my first live, by the way. So I was like promoting this, and I used the hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I got some like hate for using that hashtag. Like, I got this guy, I've never even met him, but he was like all up in my comments, like saying all these rude things and being like, oh, like the Black Lives Matter movement is a lie, and now I'm unfollowing you because you're like supporting lies and all this stuff. And I was just like, wow. And like, I see people, I see this big divide, and like, it makes me really sad, you know, because I do, even though I'm not an African American myself, I do feel for what's going on, and I do understand why they're doing what they're doing. Whereas like other people are completely on the other spectrum and like getting so offended, even with like people that support it, you know? So I don't know, it's really crazy to me.
Well, listen, we appreciate you just coming on Black Culture to break down, even just give us, you know, your gems and your knowledge on the entertainment industry, right?
Thank you.
That you do support black lives and black people is just step and just kind of just making sure there's unity, because that's all that we all care about. It's just making sure that we're united and that black people are recognized as equal.
Understand? Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about.
But you know, kind of switching gears, homegirl before, from France, Ashenay, is a basketball player. Did you ever play sports?
Oh my gosh. I'm the biggest klutz when it comes to sports. but I have two big brothers, and I guess thanks to them, and they explain about sports and stuff, I like soccer and I like basketball. And if you're going to ask me what my favorite teams are, for basketball, of course, the Toronto Raptors, to support them. And for soccer, Real Madrid. And because I grew up like a few years in Spain, the thing is, as soon as I landed in Spain when I was 8 years old, they make you pick. They're like, you have to tell us if you like Real Madrid or Barcelona. And I was just like, what is this all about? Like, because it's like this really big deal in Spain, like these two teams, right? And so they made me pick. At the time, Real Madrid was doing so much better than Barcelona. So I'm like, I like Real Madrid. And then over the years, Barcelona would do better, but you're not allowed to switch ever. Like if you picked one team, you have to just stick to that team forever. So, yeah.
Official Adam Rick said, Hola Madrid. Said, yeah, Black Lives Matter movement is about basic human rights. Yes. Collaboration is key in social media. Earlier today, David said, hey, Dora. So we're just reading some of the comments. So if you guys are tuning in, this is Black Culture to Break Down. So Dora, our live is turning out, have a minute and 54 seconds remaining. So tell us where we can find you and what you got next coming up that we should be looking out for within the
I did want to let you know, I'm planning on transitioning into acting. I mean, I love modeling, but like my real, real passion has always been acting. So that's what I'm transitioning into. And I'm actually in the process of being cast right now for a TV show. And I just signed an NDA, so I can't disclose anything just yet. But you can, if you stay tuned, you can see that you'll probably see me on a few episodes of something that's coming out. And I can't wait.
Where it shows or no?
Sorry?
Can you tell her what platform we can...
I can't just yet. Not okay. Yet.
We're going to do, whenever you make the announcement and you can, you got to come back on Black Culture to break down and talk about
Sounds good. Sounds like a deal.
All right. But thank you so much for coming on. Tell us where we can find you and if there's anything else that you would like to know.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's DoraRodriguez.es, and on Twitter, DoraRodriguezTV. Yeah.
All right. Official Adam Rick said, just get
I honestly can't. I wish I could. Lyndon. I wish I could. But as soon as I can talk about it, we can do this again. And yeah. I'll be more happy to.
Lyndon PJ said, congrats. Dora, thank you so much for coming on and being a dope guest on Black Culture to Break Down.
Thank you so much for inviting
me. And thank you again.
Bye.
All right, you guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a good day, you all.